Awakened.
Conscious Conversations Podcast to help you grow and discover who you are, to develop a deeper, more complete side of yourself via conscious talks, self-love, meditation, and by interviewing some of the most inspiring guests on the planet.
shamanichealings.earth for more information.
So hi everyone, so we've made it to season 5 and we're doing something different this season, as you know, and we're having guests on the show. And today we are going to talk about absolute consciousness as we explore the depths of our existence. This week's guest on the show is Harley Street practitioner, therapist, Louise Burford. Louise specializes in helping clients clear trauma and limiting beliefs, helping them to embrace their potential using a combination of traditional and energy therapies, including matrix reimprinting, EFT, cognitive behavior therapy, hypnotherapy, etc., providing a 360-degree healing modality. Okay, so Louise, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pleased to be here with you. I really love your energy, and so thank you so much for inviting me.
Yours too. It's an absolute grace to have you on the show, and such a knowledgeable person, as I know, and you're going to add a lot of richness to the podcast today. We're going to talk about absolute consciousness. In many ways, consciousness to me can't be that easily defined within the construction of the human mind. Consciousness almost feels a sense of purity to me. So I'm so excited to have you, Louise, to share this on our journey today through absolute consciousness. So what does absolute consciousness mean to you, and what inspired you to talk about it today?
I agree with what you say. I mean, it's so enormous, isn't it, that it encompasses everything. So to call it absolute is the perfect word, isn't it? Because it is absolute. And yes, I agree that it can be accessed in moments of stillness. My journey to it has been through moments of not being still, when I've had really huge crises in my life, or things that have been really challenging. Which have given me glimpses to it, but I think it's been a long journey to come, and I'm no way saying that I'm fully conscious. I think our journey on earth is to constantly be challenged by our lack of absolute consciousness, and to strive towards finding those moments where we can connect. And I think there's so many opportunities in daily life with other people, in interactions, where we're challenged to find consciousness, our cognitive consciousness, our experience as a human being, our connection to others. And like you say, to even try and conceptualize the enormity of consciousness is a great and beautiful thing, but is it even possible, you know?
I totally agree. Actually, when I was sitting down to put my notes together for this show, I was like, wow, such a beautifully big and vast subject. And agree with what you're saying. I think from not being consciousness, we end up appreciating the moments that we are conscious. and in a sense, I think we wouldn't have, depending on people's beliefs, but we wouldn't have chosen, or we wouldn't have been born into this human realm when we could have just existed in absolute consciousness, if we weren't meant to try and find our road back to that in many ways.
Yeah, I agree absolutely. I think that this human experience is a learning ground to contribute to the mass consciousness through our own experience, but also as souls, if we're going to use those words, to grow, to contribute to a higher consciousness. So our individual experiences, you know, contribute to the greater consciousness, I think, and all the trials. We're not here to have, you know, a great time all the time. We're here to try and figure our way through to a conscious consciousness, so that the greater consciousness has a consciousness of itself, if that makes sense. That's my
I know, I love it. It's so mind cleansing, but it's
it really is so on point, but it can be
so mind bending and vast. Louise, when did you start to feel aware of consciousness within your journey? And like, I guess it's quite a difficult question in many ways, but was there like an aha moment when you thought, oh, this is a higher consciousness that I'm connecting to?
I think it's like onions. You know, I was arrogant enough when I had that, you know, big experience that brought me to a decision of consciousness. I thought, after about 8 months of working like nonstop on my consciousness, meditating, you know, having every type of therapy, you know, for doing yoga every day, after about 8 months, I was like, I'm so conscious. I'm so there. And I think that is the moment when you're probably least conscious because you're aware of your consciousness, but you're completely unaware of how unconscious you are. So I think the more I grow and the more I learn and the more I give into it, the more humbled I become. And the more I realize it's a life journey, and every person that comes into our life is a teacher. And the moments that I feel that I'm most conscious, apart from in beautiful moments like meditation or those stillness or those moments of awe where you just sort of think you connect completely to source and you become one with the universe. And those are obviously rare and fleeting and extraordinary. But I find lockdown has been particularly powerful for me because it's brought up a lot of things and made me question a lot of things. But I find in moments of challenge with other people, with people being our teachers, when we find ourselves triggered or judging or anything like that, those are real moments personally for me to take stock and go, wow, you really thought that about someone else. What is it about you that you need to bring to the light? So more and more, I call it pulling the weeds.
I like that term, pulling the weeds. Yeah, there's nothing bigger really than the spiritual ego. I've been at that point. I remember I came out of the ashram. I lived there for like 5-6 weeks and I'd like been meditating like almost all day. And I just saw bliss and love everywhere. And I just couldn't understand why everyone else wasn't kind of feeling the same way. And then that's why I think that in many ways, like you said, that when you're feeling that, sometimes you might even be the least conscious than when you're not feeling that way. So it's quite a few cloaks that can easily trick us. And I've come to the same place as you, where I see it from a place of humbleness. And I actually believe I know nothing now, whereas before in the past I thought I knew everything, but I'm thinking actually no, I know nothing. And like you, with lockdown, I've also been triggered by people and also feeling the divisions that they are depending on different people's views, and it can be really kind of triggering, but it's a gift to step into and be conscious.
Hello, dear listeners, and I'm asking for your help now. Please help us to continue making great content for listeners everywhere. So we've been doing the show now for 3 years, and we need help to build it so that we can help even more people. A little bit of inspiration goes a long way, and you just don't know how a episode may inspire someone to make some positive changes for their life. Why do I need your help? Well, you can now sponsor the show for as little as $3 a month, and you can cancel it at any time. If you just go to the show notes, you will see a link there on how to sponsor the show, or go to shamanichealings.earth and look at the page that says sponsor the show, and you can find more details there.
Absolutely, absolutely, I agree. And these divisions, well, everything you said there is so powerful. It's, you know, the idea of the spiritual ego is such a big thing. And I think that's when you're least aware. But I think it's easy early in your journey to step into that spiritual ego. And obviously there's loads of jokes about that. And the more enlightened, I mean, I've been reading, I used to be terrified of Christianity or like organized religion, because that was like old school and that wasn't cool. Whereas now it's like, you know, all, you know, you begin to embrace everything. And I've been reading a lot on the Christian saints and mystics, the ancient mystics like Teresa de Avila. And the more you realize that, the more you realize that it's all the same thing. The people in our lives are our triggers. And this, to me personally, what's happening now in the world, it is the apocalypse, the great divide. It is the lifting of the veil. The word apocalypse, I don't know if you know this, means lifting of the veil.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's actually was the translation of the
that's
word.
The actual word. I think it's ancient Greek.
Oh, like Maya, the veils, like in a yoga tradition, the veils, Maya is the veils of deception. So. But
exactly. And Teresa de Avila talks a lot about the veils of illusion. And we have been incarnated in a time when the veils of consciousness are lifting. And you look throughout history, and you know, she was writing in the 14th, 15th century, and you think it's exactly the same consciousness. She's speaking of the same universal truths and these veils of consciousness and these untruths that are just a different layer of operating at. They're just less aware. They just have a denser energy. I think at this time of division, we see it more clearly. And so it's more triggering, but at the same time, it's kind of more beautiful because you see the possibility for everyone to be enlightened. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. It almost feels like all this pain and suffering, depending on whatever angle you're perceiving from, it's given a sense of honesty. So
yes,
if you're prepared to work on yourself, but in a way that's kind of humble, then there is the chance for everyone to ascend in many ways, whatever religious or spiritual belief people have, because in my opinion it's all the same thing but just different paths. But that's yes. My opinion on the matter. And the fact that the times are so hard and like there's I don't know, it's just it's quite a controlled and if you could feel energetic restricted, but at the same time we're so vast and big and beautiful that we could just expand. And if you listen to the ancient yogas, which is the ancient yogic philosophers had down in writing, that this time this was going to happen and we were going to go through this stage. And I almost feel it's a time we kind of lift our consciousness, because at the moment there's also like a big simmering pot of collective fear, which yes. is dimming this collective consciousness. But
yeah.
really we could feel connected in ways by tapping into the oneness. If we're not conscious in every single thought that we have, or every single action, every single feeling, and we turn that into see everything as a gift instead of is this like invisible war or whatever people perceive it as, and see it as a gift. Really, consciousness could be lifted, and it's yeah. beyond personal views, politics, or absolutely. In fact, they're kind of veils, even more veils of light.
Absolutely.
Or the apocalypse.
And I think because there has been this kind of like almost a sharp division, like the apocalypse, like the, you know, it's the division where people are choosing sides. You know, are they going to be lower vibration? Are they going to be higher vibration? But the amount of triggering happening between those two ethoses, if you like, that's probably not the right word, but rationales, is in itself, because it is so triggering, in itself enlightening, because to be triggered and to become aware of your own judgment, if you like, in itself is a process of enlightenment, a process of pulling the layers of the onions. So even this time of kind of chaos is kind of beautiful.
Yeah, I can see the beauty in it. There's always beauty in any situation. I know some people are really going through suffering in whichever way they are going through, and it's not to say that suffering is beauty, but what we're saying is there is a beauty in the pure honesty of what is going on, in a sense that for so long I feel we kind of look externally, like if we get sick we expect someone else externally to fix it, or we want things externally to make us happy, and it's all out, whereas this is making us go in, and we've actually got the space and time, even if some people are like working, no, I've been working from home all the way through it, but I know you've still got that space that you've saved from like your commute time to kind of to sit down and be with yourself. And in many ways I feel the lack of consciousness and all these distractions are a way to stop us from kind of just being ourselves, because it's not comfortable. It's very uncomfortable. It's easier to go and put Netflix on, isn't it, than just get on that mat and do your own rubbish.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think a lot of people that have been quite unconscious have had to sit, even no matter how much Netflix they have, no matter how many Instagrams, whatever. Like, you know, if you think before lockdown, people, not everyone obviously, but there was this huge obsession with being, not me, but photographed, you know, where you were photographed and where you went on holiday and how much your clothes were and, you know, how big your booty was and all that kind of thing. And I think lockdown has really gone, that does not matter. You know, when people that are unconscious have been sitting alone with their Instagram, with their Candy Crush or whatever, and I'm not judging that, I'm just saying it's a different rationale. Yeah. There's such discomfort that they haven't been able to go out and drink and buy the latest designer handbag. And if they do, they're sitting at home with it and it's probably not as much fun.
You have that purity within us, that innocence, like a baby. Like, I know my friend's daughter had her baby on the floor just recently, like an emergency birth. The baby just decided it was going to come and that was it. And there's pictures and the baby looks absolutely fine and stuff. And I was just thinking to myself, that's because this baby's not being conditioned by fear. It just is. And that's really, we kind of got to step into that innocence again and just, you know what, we can't go to the shops, but we can go outside and smell a flower, even if you're like in a city block. You can go to the park and you can buy yourself a bunch of flowers. There's always kind of a way of connecting through that. So I know that you amazing service on helping people who feel stuck and had any kind of trauma, because things like this can really stop us being with ourselves, especially if you've experienced something that has been traumatic and kind of got lodged consciously into your being. And that's where you can, like, you can help people. You're going to do a much more elegant way of explaining this, but I know things like matrix re-imprinting, EFT, cognitive therapy. I don't know if you want to speak about any of them and how they may help people feel more conscious in life.
I think, again, well, obviously being a therapist, I think that's how I wouldn't going to do it. I think that again, that's a dedication for a life journey that one goes on as part of enlightenment, to know the self. To me, becoming one with spirit, you have to go through those ugly layers of that we were just talking about, that real discomfort, you know, of not sitting with yourself, of not putting, okay, watch Netflix, fine, but, you know, there has to be time for both. And so I think, again, this time of reflection has brought a lot. I mean, it's been mentally, from a mental health point of view, it's extremely serious. Because these darkness within ourselves, quite apart from trauma, which, you know, is huge in itself, but these are coming to the surface and they need to be expressed and dealt with. And, you know, a handbag isn't going to do it. And I think the other thing about this and talking about consciousness is I hope, I pray, and I do think this is the future. We've got energy therapies and we've got, you know, classical, you know, psychotherapies, psychology. The two aren't meeting. And if and when they do, I hope they will. I think there's a third element that needs to be brought in, which is not discussed enough. I think there needs to be a marriage of spirituality, psychotherapy, like traditional, and energy therapies, until we can get to the point where we are marrying the three of those things, we cannot find our journey to wholeness.
That's so important. And I really feel it. I feel that with like also like with non-mind medicine, like physical medicine, because there's so much gifts, yes, like in the right diet, Ayurvedic medicine, the Chinese medicine system, and quite often discredited. And I just think it's madness. This stuff works, and you know that if it's put together and in professional, professional way, there's so much to add. And I've had Matrix re-imprint before, and I found it, wow, it blew my head. It's so fantastic. The therapies that you offer able people, they give them a sense of empowerment, a sense of structure, the ability to work through this stuff and to get into those layers that they may not reach by just counseling alone. It gives them a bit of self-responsibility as well, which is, I think, is very, very, very powerful.
It's absolutely necessary. I mean, without a willingness, I mean, you cannot, you know, do it without your own. You can only do it yourself. All I can do is hold someone's hand. And of course, you can't be objective about yourself. There are times, you know, I've dedicated my own life to my journey of having therapy and working through the layers. But you can't do it by yourself. But yes, you need to. I think it's, you need all the aspects. I think talk therapy is really important, but people dismiss that. And energy therapy is really important. Not everyone dismisses that. So bringing them, and exactly as you say, like in traditional medicine, it's not just about, you know, if you've had a car crash, you put the bits back together. That's fine. That's mechanical. But Newtonian physics is what, 300, 200 years old? I've probably got that horribly wrong. We're not Newtonian beings. We're energetic beings. And medicine still treats us like machines. So this is the completeness that I think we're coming to in consciousness, but we need to integrate into our physical selves. The mental is related to the spiritual, is related to the, you know, the physical. These are not separate issues. This is we talk about absolutes. Yeah. This is an absolute.
Exactly. we should be treated as an absolute being instead of
completely.
It's just, that's why I am such a fan of some of these Eastern medicine and philosophies, because they do look at the whole of the body, and it's just like a pill. If not in the West, and nothing against the Western medicine system, I think they do some great things. But it's just like you get a pill for a pill to stop the side effects for this pill and this pill. And if someone's got something buried, and obviously they will, I'm never going to say people not to take the medication, by all means do take your medication. But what I'm saying, it needs something beyond that, something beyond that. And I agree with you on the mental health thing. I think we are going to have a mental health problem once we come out of this, or already are, beyond anything that we've ever experienced before. And people are going to need a lot of support. They're going to need a lot of care. And then once to help to be able to do that, and to be able to even start to tap into their own consciousness and the level where they're going to feel comfortable within themselves. And I do strongly feel that the skill set that yourself and therapists like you really helpful in helping to reduce the mental health problem that we're going to have in the world. I do feel that it needs to have more of a reach. And the blessing I feel with this lockdown is that we can now treat people worldwide, like kind of international
class.
And so we do have an international audience on this show. So if they were thinking, oh yes, I would like to have a session with Louise, what's the best way in which they can contact you? I will put notes on the thing as well.
I'm quite resistant to this kind of thing. I tend to get word of mouth. So I don't really advertise or anything, which has been really lucky for me, because I don't know, but I do, I do have an Instagram account. I don't use it very much. I'm an email person. So if you email me, my email address is louisekburford@gmail.com. I've got a website.
So Louise, what is the biggest tip you could give listeners right now on accessing absolute consciousness, or any life lessons, just something that they can do today?
Watch your fears, because your fears and your triggers and your judgments are your greatest teachers, because they are always about, like I said earlier, pulling the weeds. They're the places that you need to go to pull them from you, so that you can have that release, so that you can experience more love, more joy, more consciousness. So it's always in the moments of pain and fear and darkness and judgment. For me, I would say moments of judgment, because that's literally where you get a judgment, when you look at somebody and you go, oh, to me, that's like alarm bell, like, oh, there's a weed I can pull. So it's in those moments, I would say, that to find consciousness is, yeah.
Spot on, isn't it? The moments of judgment, because we can find ourselves doing that so much. So yeah, it's in those moments of judgment that we can sometimes feel. And I guess it's like the neural pathways are kind of being conditioned. Is that right? To think a certain way. So we get the trigger, then it kind of puts light bulbs off in the brain. I mean, probably not delivering this as eloquently as you could, but it's kind of a stuck record, a pattern in it. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they're records and they're... And when you get the trigger, when you get that moment of like, oh, they did that thing, that's not about them, that's about you. And that's your like a little red flag, like, oh, here's a weed I can pull. And like you say, it's the neural pathways that have been conditioned. There's nothing wrong with that person. And even if there was, it's not your business. It's about us.
You know, Muji, I'm sure if everyone hasn't heard of Muji, I'll put a link to him as well. He's amazing. I'd say like an enlightened being. He's many things, but an enlightened being, I would describe him as one. And he said, like, who's that even affecting? So like, if you're feeling that pain is being evoked by something or a situation or what someone said, is that you that's really feeling the pain? Or could you see beyond to your consciousness in a sense, which is unaffected by that? Because everything is beautiful and divine, if only we can, as you said, pull the weeds out and
yes.
and kind of be there. But so Louise, what book would you recommend to our readers? I love books, and always a bit like you get clients, I get books by recommendation. Sometimes I have a little look, but generally I like to get a nice reading list for our listeners.
I read all the time. I've got like 5 or 6 books on the go at once, so I never know which ones to recommend. I love Jung. Anything by Jung is wonderful, but obviously that's a little bit probably hardcore. I would say, as if you're interested in psychotherapy and you want something that's entertaining and but also really insightful. Now, I'm not a psychoanalyst. That's Freudian. But there's a guy called Irvin Yalom, Y-A-L-O-M, and he writes, he's a very good writer. He's also an extraordinary psychoanalyst, and he is so brave. He's got several books, but he writes about clients and his thought process of what he's going through when he's analyzing. And then he tells stories about how he has been so wrong. And there's something wonderful and vulnerable. I'm sure people know about Brené Brown, that kind of vulnerability. It's so beautiful. So his books are brilliant if you're interested in the psychotherapeutic or psychoanalytic process. But he's also done a book called When Nietzsche Wept, Nietzsche the Philosopher.
Okay.
And it's about the kind of origins of psychotherapy. It's a fiction. And it's about Nietzsche and Freud. And it's really beautiful, really beautifully written. And I really loved it. But it's fiction, so it's not true. But
science fiction can inspire us. I call it deep fiction. I don't know if that conscious fiction. Going back to the stuff that you offer, if someone was feeling very triggered, things like EFT or things that they can do at home, want to know how to by themselves, which can help. I guess when someone, especially if you're suffering from a mental health problem, you could be triggered a lot, or if you're isolated, feeling despair, and something triggers, and I guess when we're in the confines of being, feeling that we're not connected with other people, that trigger can feel immense. So yes. If it's like an emergency or anything like that, there's always numbers like the Samaritans, reach out to your friends, any kind of like emergency situation like that. But if during this lockdown there was people that wanted to have to do some work on themselves in a safe structure, what would you recommend that they would do? Would see a therapist like yourself, or is there anything that you'd recommend?
I would say at the moment during lockdown, across the board, after me talking about all this darkness and being triggered and stuff, as a kind of flat out rule to every single person alive, I would say do not watch the news. If you can come off social media, I would come off social media, because even though it gives us an illusion of connection, it actually makes us feel more isolated. And there's a lot of studies about this, because we feel like we're connecting, but we're not getting the mirror neurons in the same way that we do. If you and I were sitting together having a coffee, we'd be having this amazing, you know, interaction neurologically. But because it's flattened on the screen, we don't get that same receptivity. So social media is giving us a false idea of connection, and it can be very depressing and very demoralizing. So I would say no news, no social media, which I know in this day and age social media seems like kind of
ration it, like don't watch the news before you go to bed. Like, it's just going to put fear into your mindset,
and anything that makes you afraid I would avoid, because we want to be staying high vibration, and we literally can't do that when we're being triggered, and the news is very sensationalizing. Yes, now actually saying that, I'm a YouTube is fine, don't watch anything scary.
Don't watch anything scary. And I think back to like grandparents were alive, and then I think back to like the Second World War, and I know from relatives who said that the news, even though they're going through a very difficult time, the news was very uplifting and it was trying to keep people feeling very positive. Whereas I do feel like the news isn't really helping the mental health across the world, because it's just
quite the opposite.
Fear equals clicks, and it's just fear, instead of trying to like uplift people and make people feel good. There should be more positive news stories, but that's my personal opinion on this matter. But
the thing is, it's very adrenalizing. Fear, people get addicted to fear because they get addicted to adrenaline. So people in this at the moment, there's a lot of adrenaline addiction and a huge amount of dopamine addiction. So we're craving all the time. And one of the things, when you've got a lot of dopamine is the brain chemical that makes us want, but it doesn't give us anything.
Oh,
so normally you have a dopamine followed by a endorphin. So you have the desire and then you get the pleasure. Dopamine is the desire, which is what social media does for us. It doesn't give us the endorphins, or it might give us one endorphin for a like, but we're craving the dopamine without the endorphin. And so therefore we're getting more dopamine in our system. Sorry, I'm getting a bit technical, but without.
No, I like it. I like it. It's really interesting.
So we're getting addicted. And because there's so much fear, we're getting addicted to adrenaline itself. And of course, if our bodies are full of dopamine and adrenaline and we're drinking more tea, we're wanting to numb that because we're on high alert, so we probably drink more or do whatever else. But that's why computer gaming, you know, social media, they're causing this kind of negative feedback loop in our brains. So it's not helpful. Obviously, meditation and things like that, and like you say, before bed, like no social media before bed, turn off the screens before bed, all those things, because it affects your sleep.
The blue light on the screen, I think, because sometimes I find like if people are having difficulty sleeping, it's probably because they've been watching like, I don't know, an action-packed movie just before they're going to sleep, and or they've been watching like the news just before they go to sleep, and it's bound to like disrupt your sleep and have a knock-on effect, like, you know, it's
and already we're not getting the exercise possibly that we normally do, we're not getting the mental stimulation we normally do, even just walking down the street, going to the, you know, we're taking on so much information that we almost crave information. But, you know, things like, I mean, I don't mind, I watch YouTube, but again, even that, you know, the algorithms are so much programmed that if we sort of go down a little bit of a, wormhole of
definitely,
then it starts giving us more of that so it can get quite addictive as well. But actually I might do a YouTube channel just with things that can help during lockdown, like basic EFT and, you know, things that can help with stress during lockdown. But I mean, you EFT, if people know how to do it, and there's loads of YouTube videos on tapping, that's really great. Also, I know you know the breath of fire, the kind of rubbing your hands together, and that's brilliant for stress.
Oh, that is, it's like a spring clean. I call it the spring clean for the lungs and the brain. Breath of fire. It's amazing, and the ancient yogis knew all about this.
Really, didn't they?
Really, yeah, they really did. So I say, in a nutshell, absolute consciousness. Be the keeper of your thoughts, find moments of stillness, limit addictive behavior that includes social media. I know that we live in a world of that, but you don't have to be on it 24/7. And pick up the phone. Like, okay, you can't be with people, but actually have physical phone calls instead of just texting people. You know, like, there is other ways to feel like more connected. Just go and sit in the sun and get a bit of sun on your face.
Absolutely.
Louise, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today about absolute consciousness. I will leave your information on the link before. Listeners, do stay tuned, as I will be delivering, as normal, a meditation on how to tap into absolute consciousness. But thank you, Louise.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jane. And thank you to everyone who has watched this.
So, meditation to open up the possibility of a more conscious way of living. Like with all forms of meditation, please do not do this while driving or operating machinery. If you are listening to this podcast whilst driving, just pause the podcast and you can reconvene at a later date when you're sitting somewhere peaceful and quiet where you won't be disturbed. So let's tap into a higher sense of consciousness. Take some slow deep breaths in and out through the nostrils as you step into that sense of all knowing, all being, the omnipresent, omnipotent, all knowing source. The spark that perhaps started our reality. The place within us which will offer more comfort than the most luxurious of homes. The one that watches the watcher, in a sense. Who is this even affecting? Who are you? Can you step away? Can you breathe and just be like a fly on the wall, watching every thought with consciousness? So every time you pull up a thought which may have jealousy or judgment or fear or hurt, can you pause? Can you take a breath? Can you allow that space to unfold? Can you be open to healing, healing, healing? To break habits that no longer serve? To open up to the possibility of a life that's so vast that you can't even see. Bye, 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 bye. Connecting with your light. Think slow, think less social media, less, think presence, think less TV. Instead, learn to be with thee. Learn to embrace the whole of yourself, but step off the roller coaster of fear. If you need to let stuff go, don't be scared. Shed the odd tear, yet know everything, conditioning, that you've received. Wow, you're more vast. Why you're more vast than you can ever possibly perceive. Supreme consciousness, that light within, the universe within ourselves and out ourselves, is all one conscious living is the key. Less reactive, more active. But factoring lots of time to be slow and simply be. Allow yourself to illuminate like the stars in a dark night sky. Allow your consciousness to take flight and soar high above you like an owl. Floating through the night. Take some responsibility, not in the sense that you're alone, no, that's not how it will be, but instead think, if I keep feeling the same feelings, the same judgments and jealousy, could that not just be a mirror reflection of what's actually going on within me? Learn to love others unconditionally. Set boundaries and don't let them take over your life. But instead, learn to be conscious and give up that self-talk, that awful fight where you put yourself down, ground yourself to the down. No. Let that go. Take a deep breath, meditate, and learn to tap within your inner flow. And for the next week, month, or year, every time you think something, observe, take note, take time to care. Are you being triggered by learned behavior? What is it? Who are you? Pick up a journal every day and write and discover who you meant to be. And that person is already perfect and beautiful. Only you would look inside of thee. So go forth, dear one, go forth. Take some deep breaths and let it go.
So thank you so much, dear listeners, for taking the time to listen and support our show today. And if you want any more information on what we have to offer, check out
shamanichealings.earth for more information.